This time on Weather Brains, a little time at the beach and James Spann comes back refreshed.
And I thought it was just absolutely ideal.
James takes the roads less traveled and stops at one restaurant where the rolls are thrown at you.
You raise your hand, you better get ready because a roll's coming and it might come from two rooms over. And those things hurt when they hit you in the head, but they're very good.
We'll talk about relating to television audiences.
There's a big disconnect between us and the audience. We've got to do something to break down that gap.
Some strong views about television weathercasters today.
I think people are getting a little tired of this army, and I mean army, of hundreds and hundreds of pretty television people, and it just seems like all they want to do is to get their face on television and get their hair blowing around, and they want to be a part of a hurricane story.
Also, the weather technology forecasters thought was cool, but viewers thought otherwise.
People hated that stuff.
Plus, how James trains new weather interns.
I'll take him down to a Walmart.
J.B. Elliott on getting to know Alabamians.
Some of the greatest wisdom in the world is dispensed at the Tiger Den in Ballyhead.
Plus, what would it be like if the job of television meteorologist was an elected position?
Birmingham TV viewers want a change.
You could probably expect some pretty negative campaigning. It's all coming up. Welcome to Weather Brains, the podcast that's all about weather. Produced by the Weather Geeks of the Weather Company in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm one of those geeks, David Black, and with us for this podcast is J.B. Elliott. Hello, Mr. Elliott.
Hello, Mr. Black.
Hope you're doing well.
Doing as same as last week. Good.
Outstanding. And a hello to James Spann, Chief Meteorologist, ABC 3340 Birmingham. Back from vacation, are you?
The yes. Well-rested James.
Yes. Down there in the lovely Redneck Riviera, spending a little bit of time.
Was it as tough as I suspect?
Didn't have a drop of rain. The weather was comfortable. The crowds weren't that bad. I thought it was just absolutely ideal. In fact, that ocean water was just as smooth as glass. I don't think I've ever seen it quite that smooth. Chopped up a little bit the last day when that cold front came through and had a north wind blowing, but just absolutely gorgeous. But I'll tell you what, everybody's a little on edge down there. I was there as the hurricane season started on June the 1st, and that was the talk of the town for sure.
But you got washed away on the way home during those illegal thunderstorms.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't have one drop of rain the entire trip, and I got back to Clanton. I mean, it opened up. I mean, if I were to stick my hand out there in front of my face, I couldn't see it. It was raining so hard. This was Sunday afternoon, so how about that?
Well, you get the benefit of being able to take coast trips, James, when it's not all that crowded, because I suppose there are plenty of other times that you can't go down there when you might want to, just because of your work schedule, right?
Yeah, it is hard to take time off. Typically, for those of us in the television weather business, the best month for a downtime is June. The tornado season is over. The hurricane season technically has started, but, you know, we rarely have big problems in June, so that's a good time to get away, and typically it's after Memorial Day. And really, I think I prefer the Gulf Coast during the fall, mm-hmm. oddly enough. The crowds aren't that bad, and I will never forget going down there for a one-hour special we did the month after Hurricane Ivan. This was in the fall of 2004, and we did a live show from Orange Beach at 9 o'clock that night. I got down there about 2 o'clock in the afternoon just to spend some time in the town. And, of course, you know, Ivan's destruction was horrible, but I did spend some time on the beach, and it was cool. The humidity was low, and it was still comfortable. It was just absolutely incredible. So I think people that have never tried the coast in the fall or the winter season ought to try it just to see how nice it is down there.
Well, the rates are a little better then, too, are they not?
Yes, they are. You save a lot of money, and, in fact, some spots will give you a 50% discount compared to what you pay in the summer. So it's a great time to go. But even in the summer, I would encourage everybody to consider going down there. Our big storm was Ivan. The Gulf Shores, Orange Beach, southern Baldwin County area. It did take a pretty good hit from Dennis and Katrina, but mm-hmm. nothing like Ivan. And I would say about 85% of the hotels are back, the restaurants are back, and they need our business. It was a very, very hard couple of years for our friends down there, so it's time to go back and spend a few dollars and soak up some rays if you can.
Were there very many signs still of Ivan down there? I mean, I know there's been a lot of work to clean it up.
You know, yeah, there's still some signs. You can still see a lot of the individual homes that have never been replaced. The damage is still there. Even some tarps are still sitting on roofs. Looks like people just decided to abandon their homes down there or something, but And the other strange thing is the public beach at Gulf Shores. I mean, you know, you're so used to coming down Highway 59, and you see the pavilion there. Well, the pavilion, of course, was taken out by Ivan, and they're in the process of rebuilding. There's a new pavilion down a little bit from Gulf Shores. The state of Alabama's put up on the state park property down there. And that's the other thing, David. The state park has not been torn down. The remnants are still there, and that's getting a little to be a little bit of an eyesore. So hopefully the state can get that taken down and they can get their new park built there in the next year or two.
Been a lot of talk about upgrading. I mean, I'm sure, obviously, a lot of restaurants and places to stay are all long since back in business, so they're probably ready for folks to come back down and have fun.
Yeah, and the skyline is just getting higher and higher. And I will say this, as I look at the new construction, it sure looks good from an engineering standpoint. The first two floors are parking decks. They're just concrete parking decks. The water goes right through there. And above that, you know, the upper floors look pretty good. And these new hurricane specs, I think, will do, hopefully, a lot better job of keeping some of these buildings intact next time an Ivan blows through there.
I have memories of the old Lighthouse Motel. That thing's long since gone now, right?
You know, David, they tore that down before Ivan came through. I want to say it was in 2003.
A couple of years ago at least, or more.
Yeah, it was a year before Ivan. And my question, would that thing have survived Ivan? Because the lighthouse has always been there as long as I've been alive. And that thing has survived Frederick. It survived all these hurricanes. You have to figure somehow that thing would have survived Ivan. But it's down, and they have this big new building. It's called the Lighthouse Condominiums, where the old Lighthouse Hotel used to sit. And it's one of these high-rise things. It looks like it's at least 15, 18 floors. It's a big one.
Sounds like it's turning into high-rise city down there. JB, are you a coast person?
Yes, I enjoy going to the coast, but I haven't been to Gulf Shores in at least 10 years.
Yeah, it probably has changed a little bit then from the last time you saw it.
I've been to Fort Walton since I've been to Gulf Shores, and the last time I've been to the beach was 2 years ago to Hilton Head. We met Judy's folks down there.
That sounds nice. I did some deep sea fishing once out of Destin and thought I was in heaven, but I'd just be thrilled to be down there anywhere, probably like James. If you just get down there and get away from the regular routine of life, that's got to be a nice, refreshing break. And you're back in great weather back here, too.
I like the trip just as much as I like getting down there, David, spending time at the beach. Many people that have been reading our blog for years, they know that every May I write a post called Span's Best Way to the Bama Beaches.
And it involves the beaten path.
Oh, yeah, the roads less traveled. And this year the path went down through Bibb County to see the Cahaba lilies, which bloom only in May, which is a beautiful sight to see. And then from there it was down through the Black Belt, through Marion. This year I took the readers down through G's Bend, which is this bend in the Alabama River. And, David, you were there with me, what, 3 or 4 years ago? And the quilting ladies have become world famous since our trip to G's Bend. And I just think it's great. Those ladies have been blessed, but you know what a wonderful place that is. And then from G's Bend, I took folks down through Camden and Monroeville, and then to Fort Blakely on the Tensaw River, and then down to the Gulf Coast. So I just like traveling the back roads. To me, that's part of the thrill.
Well, you get to experience so much more of the countryside than a interstate's ever going to show you. So I can see why you do that. Did you stop at any barbecue places?
Oh, yeah.
All right, fess up.
Well, on the trip this year, the main barbecue joint was the Twix and Tween, which is in Brent. And really, part of the thing, I encourage people, while they have the barbecue, to kind of tour through Brent, because as we heard in last week's show here, you know, that town was destroyed, almost destroyed by an F-4 tornado on May 27th of 73. So it's kind of a joint barbecue stop tornado history kind of thing in Brent. But yeah, every year there's a barbecue joint. And then down the line, I had people, if they had time to stop at Dallas Soul Food Barbecue and Home Cooking, which is in Camden. And J.B. Elliott and I have been in that one before. Remember that trip, J.B.?
Oh, yeah. Sure do.
Okay, if you'd been with James at the barbecue restaurant, J.B., would it have been a slice of coconut cream pie, or what would you have gone for?
What did he go for, or me?
What would you go for if you had the chance? And I don't know what they serve. I haven't eaten there, but, you know. I think I hear barbecue, and I automatically think save room for coconut cream pie if they have it.
Almost all of them have lemon cream pie and coconut cream pie and chocolate pie.
I get fat just thinking about it.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the places I always tell folks to stop by is Lambert's Cafe, which is in Foley. which is interesting. When you go in there, they throw rolls, and it's called the home of throwed rolls.
They really throw them?
They really do. It started in Missouri by a family, the Lambert family, and they have three locations now, two Missouri and this one in Gulf Shores. And sometimes the wait to get in can be 2 hours. And that shows you the popularity of that place. But when they say they throw rolls, I mean, if you raise your hand, you better get ready because a roll's coming, and it might come from two rooms over. So, and those things hurt when they hit you in the head, but they're very good. So I just like the back roads, you know, getting down there and having a little bit of fun. But it's good to be back after a nice little break there.
Well, and you get to experience not just the scenery, but really I can imagine you get to meet probably some interesting people in those places that you'd never get to run into otherwise.
Yeah, you
just
know,
plain old good down-home Alabama folk.
I try to teach the summer interns we have how important it is to understand your audience. And the only way to understand them and to get to know them is to get out in the middle of them. And that's why I like to take them to the barbecue joints and the Walmarts and the things like that. And, yeah, you meet people and you see what's on their mind. And you have to understand the culture of the people that you're talking to be successful if you're going to do television weather. And I think that's very important. And after traveling these roads for many years, you kind of pick it up. And JB is a lot like me. I mean, JB grew up in the country here, and he understands culture better than anybody. But JB, don't you agree you have to understand who you're talking to be successful in the weather communication business?
Absolutely. Some of the greatest wisdom in the world is dispensed at the Tiger Den in Valley Head.
That was a classic trip.
Yeah, and it probably helps you kind of keep sight of the fact that you're all supposed to be in the same world, and sometimes in your business you can think you're in your own world and not really connected to the people you're trying to reach.
When I was a kid growing up in Hale County and Havana Junction, I used to go to Moundville on Saturday and just sit around on an old Coca-Cola crate and watch the old codgers play dominoes. And I learned a lot about the weather just listening to those guys.
I'll bet. That's a neat piece of history. You guys need to write a book. You guys need to write something about the best places to visit from here to the coast. James, you got tremendous expertise on that. And then JB, you got wonderful stories about the people of the state because you know a lot of these areas really well, too. I think you guys could write something pretty interesting.
JB's already got the title of his book. JB, tell us the name of your book.
I know what that is.
Scatterbrains and Scattered Showers.
When's the release? When's the release date, JB?
Next week.
Looking forward
to it. No, I haven't started on it yet, but I'm determined to do that one of these days.
Scatterbrains and Scattered Showers. That should be a good one. You guys need to do that.
I just think it's a real side benefit of this job. It's a real privilege to be able to do this middle of the day speaking. You know, some days it might be a Rotary Club. Some days it might be a group of, you know, fourth graders in the gym of the school. Some days it might be a senior adult group at a church. But no matter who's and I know a lot of young television weather people listen to this because they write me, and they pretty much know how I feel on this, but you've got to get out there and do that. If you don't, if you just get yourself boarded up in a television weather office, you'll be clueless. And I do think there is a huge disconnect sometimes between those people and the television news culture. And I have to say that I'm in it just because I'm here. I'm not a news person, but I'm in it. And there's a big disconnect between us and the audience. We got to do something to break down that gap. So hanging out at the barbecue joint, the PTA meeting, you know, watching people play checkers, whatever. It's just a way to find out what's on their mind.
And that's why it's also important to relay your weather information every day in down-to-earth terms, understandable English.
And that's something that leads to something I wanted to ask you, James. Do you ever have really eye-opening encounters with folks out there that suddenly make you realize that the way you thought it was in the TV world and the way they think it is in the real world don't match at all? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess the first good example of that, I don't know, about 12 or 13 years ago when I was at another station here, we got this fancy 3D gizmo. You know, you can make the maps three-dimensional and turn them sideways and tilt them and get them crooked and all this 3D high-tech graphic stuff. And we thought, man, is this cool. This is just going to be great. And we started using that, and let me tell you what, after going back out in the public a few times, I realized people hated that stuff. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't tell what was north or south, and, you know, what we thought was cool, they just couldn't stand, and it was, you know, harmful. So that's a good example of you know, you got to get out there and find out what they want, because you're just trying to be cool for the sake of being cool. It doesn't always work.
And weather, it is 100% imported, to keep it simple.
Well, the biggest thing that I hear people say again and again in this era of fancier television graphics and weather stuff is, we just want to know if it's going to rain.
Yeah.
You know?
You'd be surprised at how people do not understand the terminology we use sometimes. I was speaking to a group of guys at a Methodist church here in Trustville a few years ago, and we were just standing around chewing the fat, so to speak, afterwards. And I decided to ask him the question. I said, it was seven of them standing there. And I said, if you heard a weather forecast that says widely scattered thunderstorms, and you heard another forecast that says scattered thunderstorms, which one of those would give you a better chance of rain, assuming the forecast was 100% correct? And four out of the seven said that they thought they would have a better chance of rain with widely scattered thunderstorms than with scattered. It's just the opposite.
Interesting.
And they thought the widely scattered meant that they would be scattered over a much wider area and given them a better mathematical chance.
So stuff that you guys take for granted sometimes, that's not how it is out in the real world, is it?
Another thing I like to do, David, I just got my first new intern in here today. This is summer intern season. And by the way, for people that are listening that want to know, you know, I'm a young person, how do I do that? Our intern program, we take typically juniors and seniors that are majoring in meteorology, going into their junior or senior year. And I'd say 9 out of 10 of our interns come from Mississippi State University. It's the closest school that offers meteorology to Birmingham. We've had some as far away as Indiana, but most of them are from around here. But one of the things I love to do with them, I'll take them down to a Walmart, and I will watch them talk with other people about weather. And then I will watch them come out here on the television set and on the green wall and do a weathercast. And it's 180 degrees out of phase from the way they talk with people in the Walmart and from trying to act like a television weather person. And what I try and do with them is get out that TV weather person stuff and just communicate. You know, for and there's some phrases I hear that let me know that they're doing the weather on television, like high pressure is in full control of our weather. I've never heard an intern say that to anybody in Walmart in the 15 years I've done that. You know, they want to know, is the weather going to be nice tomorrow? And nobody's ever said, well, high pressure is in firm control of our weather. Then I say, it's going to be a great day. Sun will be out most of the morning, might rain for about 30 minutes. So I try and get them in that mindset, and I think that helps them out a lot. And it's something I have to remember every day. Every once in a while, I catch myself using these canned TV weather terms that are just horrible.
I understand. I can relate to that. You make a good point, though, just to keep it simple and keep it understandable. And I think that's why people appreciate you, James. They feel like you're down to earth.
And we're in a whole new era, David. The old television business model is dying. We are now in an on-demand world. And instead of just doing the weather at 5, 6, and 10, we are on the Internet at all times. And if I need to talk technical, I'm going to do it on some of the map discussion videos we do. That is technical weather geek stuff.
Right.
People that are watching on television or watching a webcast on the Internet, they need to just hear it very clearly and simple with all of the jargon. So now I can save the jargon for the map discussion videos and do the Walmart talking, you know, on the webcast or on the regular television weathercast. So with all these multiple distribution outlets, I can do any kind of weathercast I want to.
I know you guys are so much busier, and JB has helped out at times too when weather was crazy. When you're having to do all the podcasts and updates and stuff that you find on the website, do you, and I know that's, while it's a lot of work, do you feel as if you're communicating better, more effectively for all of that extra work?
I do. I'll get JB's opinion, but to me, with the web, with blogs and podcasts and vodcast and these things, the videos we do for iTunes and podcasts for iTunes, people can get the weather anytime they want it. They're going to get it right now at any time, and it enables us to communicate whether it's 3 in the morning or 3 in the afternoon, and not just at 5, 6, and 10 o'clock. And yeah, it's true, we have obviously a bigger audience still on television, but with every passing year, it's going to be an on-demand kind of world, and people are going to watch that thing on their iPod. They're going to watch it on their laptop or their desktop at work, and we just have to be there. But I think it's great for communication's sake. And JB, don't you think that blog has really opened up a new world of communication for us?
That blog has blown me out of the water as to the extent of the coverage and how far-reaching it is and how far away people read that thing. And it's one of those situations where you can just sit down at your keyboard and spit out the words, just what you're thinking, and it doesn't even have to be complete sentences, and it really gets the information out fast.
David, I was down at Gulf Shores a few days ago, and I was in a Bruno's getting some stuff, and a lady came up to me, and she recognized my voice, and usually they say, "Oh, I watch you on television." She didn't say that. She said, "I read your blog." And this is my daughter, and she reads your blog, and we just love those Miss Molly stories. And
keep them coming, JB.
I'm thinking, man, this is changing. Mm-hmm. I was at a restaurant here in Birmingham about 2-3 weeks ago, and the lady just said, "I just listened to your weather," and I thought she was talking about a radio station. You know, I'm on 27 stations. And I always like to ask, which radio station did you hear it on? And she said, "Well, it wasn't a radio station; it was my iPod."
Wow.
She's got it in the car, as many people do, and I do. And you plug it in, and it plays through your speakers. You got a little FM transmitter goes through your speakers. So that's an example of how we can communicate at any place at any time. And on that blog that JB was talking about, I have not checked it lately, but at one point we had over 150 countries. Readers from 150 different countries represented, some of the countries I never heard of before. And it's true, a lot of those people, you know, they're searching for a term and they see a blog pops up on Google and they go there for just for a minute. But a lot of those people are readers, they're from every state in the union. We've had all 50 states, and it just blows my mind. But
did you say we had an unusually large number of people in Illinois that read it?
Yeah, Illinois scores very high.
So why would that be?
I don't know. Maybe it's people in Chicago that are from Birmingham. Typically, it's somebody with an Alabama connection, because the point of the blog is to generally write about weather in Alabama. But especially JB, he's so good about digging up these facts from all over the country that I think a lot of people have just figured it out, and they start reading the thing, and it's just kind of taken off. And,
well, I know when you guys are in tropical situations and there's a hurricane in the Gulf, you get people coming in from all across the whole Gulf Coast region, don't you, on the blog, I mean, reading?
Yeah, and, you know, that's another thing I've seen change, David. I think people are getting a little tired, and I have to be careful not to be too negative here, of this army, and I mean army, of hundreds and hundreds of pretty television people, and it just seems like all they want to do is to get their face on television and get their hair blowing around, and they want to be a part of a hurricane story.
Amen.
Right? I think people really want to get past that and find out what's going on. I need to know about my property instead of this blow-dried boob guy that's on television here. And so I think we cut through a lot of that in the information that is posted. And typically what I do, I post thoughts in the forecast process, and then JB and Bill Murray come in and they give this really detailed synopsis of current reports, and they dig up these facts. And I think that it's kind of cut through some of this hype that you see on television, and that has attracted a lot of people with all of the storms last year. Dennis and Katrina and Rita, it almost shut us down. We've had to find a way to expand our capacity because of the traffic.
You know who I'm kind of wondering what the future is going to be like for? I saw a news story on the web just a couple of days ago that newspaper readership is dropping even more. And I love newspapers. I'll admit that there's nothing quite like being able to hold a piece of paper in your hand and turn the pages, but folks are not reading anymore.
I am a newspaper addict.
Well, yeah, I'm like you guys. I love a good newspaper, but they're dying. They're dying fast. And I mentioned earlier, our television business model is dying. Their business model is dying a whole lot faster, but understand, there's always going to be a need for good writers and journalists and op-ed people. But instead of the distribution being in print,
it's electronic.
Like we have now, right? It's going to be electronic. It's
podcasts
cheaper,
and blogs are making that happen.
That's it.
But you also have to choose carefully too, because anybody can put something out now, and you've got to watch out what you're taking in.
Yeah,
it comes
and
with the territory.
It really does. There's a glut of information out there, and I tell people, when it comes to weather, be real careful where you get this stuff from. I mean, people hear some strange stuff about weather, and somehow it's always traced back to us. But the nice thing about our blogs and all that, we got everything in writing, whether we're right or whether we're wrong. We can go back and show people, this is what we said.
They can hold it against you sometimes.
Oh, you bet they can. Yeah. They'll say, "Man, you nitwits said it wasn't going to rain, and it poured on me."
Those illegal thunderstorms yesterday.
Yeah. Thunderstorms happen.
Yeah, that was... in fact, some guy was at a gas station. He said, "What's up with you guys?" He said, "You said it wasn't going to rain today, and it was pouring." And I could finally say, "I don't know anything about it. I've been on vacation for 5 days." But I will have plenty of my fair share of busts in the future.
All right. Well, we are recording this podcast on a Monday, the 5th of June, and if you are listening from anywhere within the state of Alabama, you just about have to have been under a rock lately not to know that it's political season again. Have you guys seen some of the commercials or heard some of the radio spots? All this negative attack stuff? You've got to see. Of course, James, you're at the coast, but...
It's horrible. Tonight, during the newscast, I don't know where these people are buying. It seems like we are totally sold out. I don't think you could cram another commercial on this television station. And, of course, it's all most of it's political. Mm-hmm. And I think the funny ones on those negative spots, they pick the worst-looking picture of these candidates they're picking at.
The grainy black and white pictures.
Yeah, grainy black and white. They're frowning. You know, it looks like they're on the sixth day of a five-day drunk or something. And then they put all this negative stuff going on there. And it's just negative. It is depressing watching that stuff, thinking they're all crooks.
I think it's an insult to voters, personally. But... I got to thinking about this, seeing all these commercials and hearing all this stuff. What would it be like if the job of television meteorologist was an elected position? Can you imagine how nasty those ads would be? Just think about that. Now, I was thinking about this over the weekend, guys, and here's a little something I came up with. Here's an ad that I would expect if, let's say, Brian Peters was trying to unseat the incumbent James Spann. Here's the kind of ad that I would imagine Brian would run.
Birmingham TV viewers want a change. They're tired of James Spann's cakes and bobble-headed dolls. When he's not goofing off visiting schools, James Spann uses weather rocks to write his forecast. Maybe that's why Spann's spring forecast was a total bust. Instead of warm sunshine, Birmingham got 3 inches of snow. Spann takes cash under the table from Birmingham grocery stores to scare residents about winter storms. This witness saw money change hands.
You just knew something was in the air.
But this type of shenanigans is standard Spann.
And I ran out of money to pay off those guys.
Ask Spann himself about his cash for snow forecast schemes, and all you get is a bunch of double talk.
There's a long story behind that.
Brian Peters thinks Spann's scare tactics are wrong. Birmingham TV viewers think of James Spann like fingernails on a blackboard. We need a change. Brian Peters is an experienced former government meteorologist. Let's give James Spann and his bobble-headed dolls the boot. Can Spann, because Spann can't. Birmingham deserves better. Vote Brian Peters, because we need a real weatherman. Paid for by Peters for Chief Meteorologist Birmingham.
Peters is not here tonight. Where is Peters anyway?
He's working for Jason, right? Like, is he in bed? I don't know.
He's probably out working some second job to pay for that political spot he just cut.
That's big buck stuff. Now, that's what Brian would run. I also got to thinking, well, the incumbent James Spann is not going to sit there and take that lying down. Here's what I suspect the Spann campaign would run in response.
Brian Peters wants to be your chief meteorologist, but he's never around when the going gets tough. Instead, he's going all right, like the time when severe weather hit. Brian was joyriding in the Storm Chaser and had a flat. When a severe thunderstorm warning was issued, where was Brian? At a Mississippi casino, cashing in. The National Tattler says Peters, quote, can't forecast his way out of a paper bag. Brian's just a washed-up bureaucrat looking for a free ride. Even his dog, Dakota, knows he spends evenings at Wesley's Booby Trap Lounge. Let's sack Peters right out of the starting gate. James Spann's experience is untouchable. Let's re-elect Spann, because Peters will be just like that Storm Chaser tire, flat. Paid for by James Spann for Chief Meteorologist Birmingham.
Wow, David Blackett works, you can tell that.
It's a cruel world out there, guys.
I need to call some of my radio station buddies, see if I can buy some time tomorrow. I wonder how much 30-second spot costs these days. I'll run that sucker.
A zillion dollars, I tell you what.
Wow. But, I want that morning drive slot with that thing.
Well, and can you imagine, too, if that's it between two candidates for the same station. Can you imagine what it would be like between the two stations? We're not even going to go there, but I just thought that folks ought to have an idea of what it would be like if meteorologists were an elected position.
That is funny stuff. Wow.
Want to say thanks to a couple of people who helped do that, too. James, you know one of these guys, I think, fairly well. Brother John, well-known Birmingham radio personality, helped us out on that. And I want to thank Jim Davis, who's in broadcasting in Florida, manages some radio stations down there, and they were real helpful to make that happen. So thanks, guys.
That's great. I recognize Brother John's voice on that first spot for Brian there. John, I remember listening to John back in the 70s on an AM station here, WBUL 1220.
And I remember him from, how many years back has it been, when he was doing oldies on Magic? That was like 20 years ago or something. I don't know.
He is one of the radio legends in this town. Great voice. And
dynamite voice.
I catch a show. He's on the Peach, 97.7.
Right.
And since I work for the competition, I probably just got fired for saying that. But it's good to have Brother John back on the radio.
Brother John was real good too when you would interrupt his program with a severe weather, severe weather type thing.
Yep, sure is. One other thing to pass along for our folks listening to Weather Brains, we're going to try a little experiment. See what our listeners think of this. We have set up a voicemail telephone line that you can use if you'd like to call in a question or a comment. And we might be able to answer that on the air sometime. You never know. The phone number you need to call is not in the local area. So if you have free long distance on your cell phone or something, you're set to go. Here's the number. 206 is the area code. If you have a problem remembering that, just remember it's one notch above 205, which is here in Birmingham. But the number is 206-339-5482. 206-339-5482. James, I suppose we could put that up somewhere on a website for folks too, if they.
That 206 area code, David, is in Seattle.
Yeah, I know. Go figure. I wanted to try to do it for the 205 area code, but couldn't make that happen. So we'll try.
Strangely enough, we have the same telephone company as the Bowen Corporation in Seattle, except ours is 205 and theirs is 206, and we get at least 5 to 10 telephone calls a day from all over the world for Bowen.
Well, you ought to take advantage of that. Well, could I help you? Could I hook you up with the 767 division, or did you need to talk to the? Never mind.
I chat with them.
I bet they probably enjoy talking with you.
Yeah. By the way, David, I don't know. This is kind of a little hint. If you don't want to pay long distance, and if you don't have one of those cell phones with the free long distance calling, Skype, which is actually what we use to do these podcasts. Now has gone to free nationwide calling.
And I think that's good for the rest of the year. Is that right? I believe
it is. Yeah, it's good through at least the end of the year. And if it works, they're going to extend it out. But just download the Skype client, Skype. It doesn't cost a dime. And you can call anybody free on your computer anywhere in the country. And you can call the Weather Brains bat phone there and leave us a message that way.
Skype.com, 206-339-5482. And if you just want to pop an email our way, that's pretty easy to do as well. Our email address is question@weatherbrains.com. We'd love to hear from you either way. Anything else, guys?
I think we've done enough damage for one night here, JP.
I didn't know if I still had a job or not. I'll probably have to call my attorney and say, get ready to do some serious defending.
No, I'm going to hire you as my campaign manager here.
Yeah.
After hearing that second spot there, I'm going to buy me some radio time and run for dog catcher.
Hopefully.
David's going to be on a network one of these days.
Really?
The prison network. I don't know. Anyway. Well, we've had fun on this podcast, as we do every time. We appreciate you listening and look forward to having you join us next time. We hope. Remember, you can get us on iTunes and also off the website, weatherbrains.com. We want to thank you for listening and look forward to having you join us next time. We hope when who knows what might happen. A reminder that all of the opinions you hear expressed here on Weather Brains are those of the speaker and not necessarily those of ABC 3340. For James Spann and JB Elliott, I'm David Black. Weather Brains is copyright 2006, all rights reserved. See you next time. Adios.
That was funny stuff, man.
Sure was. That's the funniest one yet.
I had fun doing those.
I'm going to lift those off the show and dub them down and put them on my iPod.